Everything has a beginning. Every person, every idea, every journey starts somewhere. It's one small step in a new direction, a catalyst that ignites a spark. It's a moment when, from this point forward, nothing will ever be the same. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy, but we need to start somewhere. We all need a starting point. Well, hey guys, hey Crosspoint, let's make some noise in here. How about it, right? How about Mark Harris and the band? Man, it's great to have you here. My name is Mark, if we haven't had the chance to meet, and even if you're checking us out online, I just want to say welcome because this is a fantastic week for you to be here as we are journeying through a really cool series called Starting Point. And we're in week three of that series, and if this is your first time here, and if this is your first time tuning in, here's a basic premise of what this series is really all about. It's that faith has a starting point, right? That's what this series is really about, that no matter where you are on the spectrum, no matter what type of journey you've been on, whether you're new to faith, whether you're turning back to faith, or maybe you're just starting out on faith, or maybe you just don't know, and guess what? That's a really cool place for you to be. And some of us, we're just on this journey together, and I want you guys, as we journey these next 5 weeks, I want you to all just know that we are on a journey, right? None of us know it all, right? But all of us are on a journey, and we're seeking together. And it's a really cool time. And it's cool because, no matter where you are on the spectrum, again, if you're returning, if you're coming back, or maybe if you just don't know, we all still begin with the same question in mind. And that question is this, right? What would it look like if we started all over? Right. Well, what would it look like if we said, we're going to start from scratch and we're going to build from the bottom, like we really just don't know. Right. And we're going to start there. Right. And I mean, just take away what we've learned from the Bible, what you heard in Sunday school, even what you may have acquired over time and maybe even what you got from your parents. We're just going to start from the bottom. Right. And let's say, we start there and that's our starting point. It's a good place. Right. Because we have a clean slate to work from. And, regardless of your tradition, maybe you grew up Catholic or maybe you grew up Jewish, maybe you grew up even Muslim, right? I mean, maybe if you're tuning online, maybe you're on the journey and maybe you are a person of Muslim faith. Guess what? I'm glad you're here because guess what? We can all start from the same place. And that question is, we want to start over. And, one of the things that's really cool about starting over, one of the things that's cool about starting from the bottom is that, the faith has a starting point and that starting point has a story, right? I mean, and that's what's really cool, right? Because see, the story of faith has a starting point. And what's cool about faith having a story and a starting point is that we all like stories, right? I mean, that's why the movie industry is what it is. I mean, that's why we buy books, right? I mean, that's why we watch the news. We enjoy stories. But not only that, right? Our faith is actually impacted by stories. In fact, it starts with story. And in fact, if you can imagine, if we go back and if we're starting from scratch, I want you to imagine that even your faith traditions, and they actually started, particularly Christianity and Judaism, it starts in Africa. It actually starts with African tribal tradition. This started as a very oral tradition. That means before there was a Bible, before there was an inerrant scripture, before we had Old Testament or New Testament that was written down, before people could read, or even were like really literate societies, they actually just had an oral tradition. And what that means is that it was just spoken. It was just a spoken word. But they had within the tribe this person called a griot. And that griot was just a fancy word for storyteller. Now, what's cool about the griot is that he just didn't tell just bedtime stories, right? But he told like stories about the history of the tribe. He told stories about the family trees of the tribe and where people had come from. He had all of the wisdom about the things that you should learn. Like those stories of like Adam and Eve and the creation story, right? The griot would have had all of those stories, and the kids coming up in the tribe, they would have gotten these stories and learned about who they are, their heritage and their culture from the griot. And so it was a storyteller. And so initially, faith traditions, they started out as oral traditions. I mean, because to be honest with you, being literate, I mean, that's actually something that came a little further down the line where people were actually picking up books and reading them and studying them. And so what we have here is, you know, we start off with the story. Now, here's what I want you to know, that actually the three major faith traditions, that would be Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, they actually all had the same starting point. Yeah, that's right. If you didn't know that, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, they all have the same starting point. And what I mean by that is, I mean, they all generally have the kind of the same beliefs at the epicenter, at the beginning of where their faith tradition starts. And so what they have in common, these three, is this. Number one, they all believe in one God, right? I mean, no matter which one you find yourself landing on, they all believed in one God. Not only do they believe in one God, the other thing they believe in is that God is the creator of all creation. Right? They don't debate about this, right? You're not going to see an imam and a rabbi and a priest or a preacher or a pastor kind of debating this, right? I mean, this is something that they all accept. There's one God. There's a God that's the creator of all. Here's the other thing that they actually all agree on. That's this. Somehow, humanity messed up this creation that God created. That's right. Yeah. You and me, like somehow we all messed up what God created. Right? I mean, he created something that was beautiful. It was something that we could enjoy, something that was supposed to be fruitful for all of us. And yet, you know, we found a way to mess it up. And then, you know, if you were tuning in last week, and if you haven't tuned in last week and this is your first time, this is actually a good time for you to actually go back and look at previous weekends, because we talked a little bit about this last week when we were looking at the difference between making a mistake or maybe committing a sin. And, you know, maybe the jury is still out as to whether or not you consider yourself a sinner or not, and that's completely fine. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, but the reality is, I mean, eventually you want to think about, you know, how have you contributed to actually messing up this world? Right? What's been your contribution? Because the reality is, if you're human, here's the reality: we all make mistakes, and you know whether you want to believe it or not, the reality is we're not perfect, and that's completely okay because that's actually what makes us human, and that's ultimately what brings us together. I mean, but the reality is, I mean, we all are our mess. Right? I mean, whether we want to accept it or not. And I don't know, your mess is not my mess. In fact, I got a real cool story about mess. Some of you may know, and some of you may not know. My wife and I, we have a beautiful daughter. Her name is Noah, and she just turned one a couple weeks ago. I can't believe it that she's already one. But she and I mean, Whitney and I, she's about 6 months, and we were trying to figure out, you know, what she could eat, what she couldn't eat, what she liked, what she didn't like, what she might be allergic to, what she's not allergic to. And so one day, Whitney calls me up, and you know, you can judge me for this maybe later, and it's okay. I'm okay with being judged. But see, she called me up. She said, "Mark, oh my gosh, Noah just threw up all in the back seat of my car." I put the phone on mute and I bust out laughing because I was so happy that she was in Whitney's car and not in my car. I was like, "Yes!" But she hurled all over her car, and we didn't know why, but we knew that maybe it was something that she had eaten, but we didn't know. And so, you know, then one day I happened to be with Whitney, and nowhere we're all in the line at the grocery store, and Whitney's holding Noah. And all of a sudden, the same thing happens again. Noah starts to puke all over herself. And I watched Whitney, and Whitney, she like held her close, and the puke went down her shirt, and then it went down her pants leg, and then it got in her boots. And I couldn't put the phone on mute because I was looking at her, but I wanted to laugh so bad because I was thinking, oh my word, I'm glad it's you and it's not me. But then fast forward a week. And I just finished feeding Noah breakfast, and you know, she's eating, and at this time, like, she would eat, and then she'd play a little bit, but then she'd be ready to kind of crash and take a nap. And I was looking forward to it, right? It's like this daddy-daughter nap. You get to cuddle her, and you know, we got our favorite spot on the couch, and so we get on the couch, and I look. She's looking a little lethargic, and she's kind of falling asleep, and then I'm like, okay, I'm watching her. She started to feel a little warm, but as she was kind of dozing off, she kind of perked up. And all of a sudden, it looked like she was about to puke. And all I could think about is the car and the grocery store, and puke is about to be everywhere on the couch, on me. And all of a sudden, I hear it coming out of her mouth. It's coming out, and she says, "Whoa!" And I immediately pick her up like the good father that I am, and I push her on the floor and let her puke all over the floor. Because I was like, look, I do not want puke all over me, all over the couch, or any of that, right? I mean, that's what good fathers do, right? Yeah, right? Like, judge me, of course. But here's the thing, right? The reality is, many of us think that way about God. That when we are creating our mess, that God treats us like that. Like God takes us and he puts us away and he doesn't want anything to do with us because we've been reared to believe that it's bad and it's dirty and God doesn't want anything to do with us. And who am I talking to? Right? Because the reality is, I mean, you can judge me, but maybe that's your perspective of God. But you know, the reality is all three major traditions believe that God is not like me, but it's more like Whitney, right? And that is that all three believe that God chooses to get into our mess and wants to start cleaning it up. That he's just like Whitney. Like you begin to make a mess and he pulls you closer and he wants you to puke all over him. He wants you to get the mess all over him because guess what? He can handle it. And these three traditions, while they start at the same place, they all conclude that God wants to start to clean up the mess that we created. And I love it because, you know, believe it or not, you know, the story of faith, it starts there. And it starts with God wanting to clean up the mess of humanity. And I like it because he actually starts with the guy named Abraham. That's how he begins to clean up the mess of humanity, right? He starts cleaning it up with a single man by the name of Abraham. Now, I know many of you have probably heard the name Abraham. You may have heard about him. He's a guy in the Old Testament. He's a very unique figure. But the Abraham story is one of which all three major religions, again, they believe in. They subscribe to. They all have the story of Abraham. You'll find it in the Quran. You'll find it in the Torah. You'll find it in the Bible, right? They don't disagree with the story of Abraham, right? So they all agree that Abraham was the guy that God started to forge this relationship with to clean up the mess that we ultimately made. And it's really cool because, I mean, it's the starting point of faith. And this largely is due to the fact that he starts to make these promises to Abraham, right? And the way that God decides to clean it up is by this relationship with Abraham. And he does this by creating three promises of Abraham. Now, here's the first promise that he makes to Abraham. The first promise that he makes to Abraham is this. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you into a great nation. Now, Abraham's just like an average dude. He's just like a regular Joe. There's nothing special about Abraham other than the fact that God decides to forge this relationship with Abraham. And when he forges this relationship, he says, listen, I will make you into a great nation. And this promise is suggesting that God will be multiplying his family to the extent that his family will become large enough to be its own nation. Now, here's the crux. Abraham's wife, yeah, she's barren. She can't have kids. And so this sounds like, oh, this is amazing. He's going to make a great nation. Abraham's like, I don't think you know who my wife is. I don't think you know. Maybe it was him. Maybe it wasn't just Sarah. Maybe it was Abraham. I don't know, right? I mean, we could debate that, what, like whose issue that was, but we don't know. But what we do know is that the reality was he wasn't able to have kids, and yet God makes this promise. That's promise number one. And promise number two is this. He says, I will bless you and make your name great. Right? I'll make your name great. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean in modern terms? Right? I'm glad you asked, right? What that simply means is this. I'm going to make you famous. Abraham, I'm going to make you famous. You're going to have a great nation, and I'm going to make you bigger than the Kardashians, right? I'm going to make you famous. You're going to be bigger than what it means for Carson Wentz to become a cult, right? I mean, this is going to be big stuff, right? You're going to become famous. Now, and the reason why this is important is because, I mean, again, he's like a regular average Joe, and God is going to send him to a land that he knows nobody. So how's he going to go into a land where nobody knows him, and yet it's going to make his name great? And yet all of us in 2021 have heard the name Abraham. In fact, many of us have even heard that song. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had father. Ah, there we go. I knew you knew it, right? Whether you knew the story or not, we knew that song because we captured that song. And guess what? 2021 plus years later, his name is great. Here's the third promise, and this is big. He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. All people. Now we know that regardless of what tradition you find yourself landing in or where you are in your faith journey, that all three in their own unique way has been a blessing to this earth. I mean, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish, I mean, when you think about, you know, social issues or homelessness or hunger or things like that, these issues, I mean, we forged relationships and we found a way to be a blessing to so many different people, to give them food and shelter and create opportunities. And so here's the thing, he's been a blessing because these three religions came out of this story and they've been a blessing to people for years and years and years. Charity and mission work. I mean, it's happened. He's been a blessing. And the blessing came out of this one guy. And I know he's famous, and I love it because, see, when we think about these promises that he makes to Abraham, I want you to know that these are special because this is the beginning of God starting to clean up the mess. And one thing about God's promises, I like this quote about God's promises because this is a way for us to think about it, that God's promises are like stars, that the darker the night, the brighter they shine. And I don't know if you catch this because the reality is Abraham, again, his wife is barren. He's getting ready to go into a foreign territory, and he can barely keep his family in a good standing, and yet God is telling him he's going to be able to bless all the people of the earth. I mean, it sounds good. It makes for a good story, but for Abraham, this is not right. I mean, he's living in uncertain times. He's living in some dark spaces. He's trying to walk according to maybe where God is doing, and he doesn't know. But the promises of God become a light. They become stars, and they become brighter the darker our lives get. And let's be honest, if we're honest about 2020, if we're honest about 2021, I mean, all of us have had some uncertainty, right? We've all been found ourselves in some dark spaces or some dark times, and that's completely cool. And yet, I mean, even Kurt, he mentioned earlier, like, we're in Black History Month, and even as we're in Black History Month, the reason why we even have a Black History Month is because, you know, at the end of the day, this country has not always been favorable to people of African descent, people that are Black. And so the reason why we want to highlight these things is because the reality is, amidst all of the darkness that people like me have been able to come up through the struggle of that things have come in this country and come over the water, here's the thing, we've still been able to emerge. And guess what? This month, we're celebrating the stars. We're celebrating those people who were able to shine bright amidst the darkness. In fact, here's a good depiction of that. Take a look at this. Celebrating Black History Month, but those are some stars. And the reality is, all of us know that in the midst of a dark night, the stars have a way of lighting our path. And God knew that amidst the mess that's been created, that the promises of God had a way of lighting a path. And he knew that humanity needed a path forward. That you know, he needed to create a space that amidst the mess that we've created, he said, you know what, I want to create a path forward for each of us so that we can get to a place where God would have us to be. And it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum, that the reality is, like, the path is something that each of us can decide to take. See, because the path is beautiful, right? The path is actually, it gives us perspective, right? Like when we hear the promises that God gave to Abraham, he was giving him perspective to telling him that listen, I know that maybe you and your wife, you guys have been having some struggles with having a kid, and maybe that's somebody that's here, or maybe you're watching online that you've been struggling with even able to have a kid. But let me tell you that, see, God has a way of changing our perspective in the midst of darkness and creating that path. And he said, listen, Abraham, listen, I'm going to make you into a great nation. You don't think you can have one. What if I told you you're going to have an impact on a whole nation? It changes perspective. Helps him to see that he doesn't even have to do it alone. In fact, it's not just perspective. He tells him, listen, you have an advocate. That you have somebody who's now pulling you and supporting you. I mean, that's why it's really important to jump into a small group. Because when you jump into that small group, you now have people who are advocating for you. And when you have your perspective shifted and changed and altered, guess what? That support group will start to advocate for you and pray for you and to support you so that you can get down the path. And see, when you start to move down the path, let me tell you, like the path is not about getting somewhere quick, because it is about timing. That let me tell you, these things don't happen overnight. Your faith journey, it took you years to get to where you are. So it's going to take you time to get to a different place and to shift that perspective and to start having and being able to accept the support of an advocate and the support of other people. So don't rush it. We're on a journey together. You can journey with us. It's going to take some time. And not only does it take time to get there, but see, in that timing, see, God's timing is way better than our timing, right? Because Abraham and Sarah, they weren't able to have a kid into their 30s or their 40s or their 50s or their 70s. They were almost in their 100th year of life, and God made good on his promise. So we can't get caught up in our timing and wanting the instant gratification that our culture sometimes puts upon us and makes us feel like we have to get there sooner. You know, the path is about what you learn along the way. And as you continue to move, see what happens as you're going along the path, you'll start to see the hope that God has for you. The space where you begin to start to experience things that God wants you to experience. And I know it's like when you get on that path and you have a different perspective and somebody's advocating for you, you have that support group and maybe the timing, and you start to have hope. And I know, because here's the thing, we all become skeptics. And the question that comes up in our minds when we feel like we start going down this path and we start feeling like we're trying to follow God, here's the question that comes into our mind. Here's the question. We think this: how do I know I'm on the right path? Like, God, how do I know that you're actually hearing my prayers? How do I know that you're actually trying to be involved in the circumstances of my life and that you're actually assisting with us? And I'm glad, because here's the thing. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, but see, it's the tension that really we've all been somewhat conditioned to always think about, is it right or is it wrong? Am I following the rules? Is this the right way? Is this the right prescription? Is this the right balance? Is this the right rules? Am I breaking them? Am I not breaking them? And let me tell you, some of that is just not your fault. Some of this was inherited by your parents. Some of this may have been what you learned and, you know, in your faith tradition. Maybe you grew up Catholic, or maybe you grew up in a different denomination and they elevated the rules. And guess what? If that's you, you want to come back next week, because we're going to be talking about rules on next week. And so, but see, we feel that tension. We feel that weight. And we're trying to figure out, am I on the right path? Am I doing what's right? Is God pleased with me? And you know, we start, and maybe it's not church. Maybe you didn't even inherit it. Sometimes we create our own standards. We create our own litmus test as to whether or not we're right and whether or not we're doing it right. And that can be dangerous as well. And, you know, I want you to know, like, you're not alone with this. I mean, because if we fast forward to Jesus, when Jesus comes on the scene, I'm not being critical, because I'm on this journey with you. Like, I mean, we don't know. But here's the thing. See, the Jews, they missed this, because they had their own rules and standards. And they were trying to tell you, like, hey, the way that you get on the right path is by following all of these rules, right? And then not only following these rules, like, in order for you to be right, you got to become Jewish. Like, you got to be the chosen people. You got to be with the chosen folks. right? And they missed Jesus because, you know, he was talking to people that may not have been the chosen folks. And then maybe, you know, Islam, I mean, they come on the scene, and this is kind of the point of departure where they see, you know, the way that you be right and the way that you become righteous is by, you got to follow the rules, right? You got to pray five times a day. You got to do these acts. And if you do these acts, then some kind of way, you'll be doing the right thing. It's about behavior. Right? I mean, and even the Christians, I mean, like 30 minutes after Jesus dies and he's risen, I mean, there's a debate that ensues as to whether or not, how many people have to become Jewish before they become Christian, and if you have this and if you have that, and like, how do we put these things together? And then somebody says, wait a minute, maybe we just have to believe. Like, maybe you just have to believe. Maybe it's just that simple. And here's the thing. I mean, we wrestle with this. It's difficult to just believe. And we ask these questions. Like, if it's just belief, so it's not about my birthright, and it's not about my behavior, and it's not about what, you know, all these other components. And it's like, just believe. And that's why the story of Abraham is so beautiful, because if you keep reading, and you'll find that this is what happens with Abraham, right? God says this. He says this. Abraham believed the Lord. And what does it say there? It says, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So if you want to know how you get on the right path, if you want to know how to become right, there it is. It says, Abraham did what? He believed. Wow. I mean, there it is. And it's simple. It's like, it's not based on the birthright. It's not based on behavior, right? But simply, he just expressed that he believes. He expressed that, listen, he trusts God. That he trusts God. That he says, listen, I fully trust you. I don't know how these promises are going to come to fruition. I'm not sure how these promises are going to come to fruition. But you know what? I trust you. I trust you down this path, and I'm going to go with you down this path. And maybe, just maybe, that's the question you need to answer. Maybe that's the question you need to answer. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you trust God to lead you through the uncertainty of your life? Like, do you trust God to get into the mess of your life, the dirtiness of your life, the nastiness of your life, and create a path forward? Do you believe, do you trust in God to lead you into a space and down a path toward a place that you could be something greater than you could ever imagine? Here's the thing. Because maybe you're wondering, and here's some of the questions that I think you should ask yourself this week. That maybe, does God accept me because of my birth? Does he accept me because I was born into this faith and my parents kind of inherited this belief system? And is that why God accepts me? Or does God accept me because my behavior has been so spotless, because I've been so perfect? Now we know, or maybe you are. I'll say I'm not perfect. Or maybe it's just, does God accept me because of my belief? And maybe that's you. Or maybe there's a combination of two of these. But see, this week, you should be asking yourself these questions. Because God wants to take you down a path toward a place that can make you greater than you could ever imagine. But it's a journey, and we don't have the answers, but you got to start asking those questions. And maybe those questions are your starting point.